Oh yes, it's that time of the week again, baby. The eSport Dental Podcast is back. Episode number 58, recorded for the 5th of September 2019. I forgot how to say dates, but what I haven't forgot how to say is that I'm joined by Gutter Lily Prophecy and that guy who used to be on our podcast at some point. You know that annoying guy, talk about League of Legends a lot, Mr. Glenn GK. How are you doing, lad?
I was going to say, I feel like you surely should have forgotten how to introduce me, because it's been a minute. But I'm back. I'm bringing all of the spice that I've just been holding on to for a while. So please be ready for a wild ride on Mr. Bones' ride.
What spice on the Esports Central podcast? Prophecy, that doesn't sound right, does it?
Definitely doesn't sound right. There's no way that's possible.
Not a possibility. Nadia, do you agree with that statement, sir?
I thought this was a gossip site.
Oh, all right. So in latest news, Kim Kardashian is getting with... I'm kidding.
Also, the second you started talking to me...
Don't joke about Kardashians first. That's some real stuff. Real stories are going on there.
Those are your heroes, Glenn. We understand.
Didn't she recently just buy a dress from somewhere? I don't know. Who knows? Doesn't it sound like a kind of important story that the world needs to know about?
Okay, so let me tell you something about this podcast. It's been admitted in our WhatsApp group that Glenn's hero is Kanye West, specifically because he has a good sneaker collection and not because he's an idiot.
Okay, firstly, he has a shit sneaker collection. Fuck Yeezys. I will never. People that wear Yeezys can actually literally sit at home by themselves and never get invited anywhere out. You don't deserve to even live, let alone have fucking sneakers and be part of the sneaker culture. So that's my hot take already. I told you, spice. It's been so long.
You know what? Glenn, I actually agree with you. Yeezys are the ugliest fucking shoes you can buy.
The whole Yeezy collection is
trash. They're the Crocs
of
sneakers, I think.
You know, you say that.
The epitome of everything wrong with hypebeast. They are lit like Yeezys. If I thought Kanye was smart, he would have made it a parody of what it is to be a hypebeast. But apparently, they're being so spotted without any self awareness. So fuck Yeezys.
I feel like this will not offend our listener base, because what's the hypebeast scene like in the gaming scene locally? Everybody just wear Vans.
well,
I like I just myself, but I mean,
that's, I mean, you white kind of... expected wearing Vans. Come on,
that's where our style's at.
And the DC shoes. That's DC and Vans basically pretty much is gaming.
Listen, if you wear DC shoes, then you just remind me of this one chick I used to go to school with.
Was that Nadia of 10 years ago?
No, it was not. Whoa, me. It was somebody else. And I used to look at her shoes, and I was like, "That is so fucking ugly. How do you even?"
Okay, I used to wear these. Hold on, I used to wear these.
What?
Same. I've owned more than a few pairs, Nadia. Yeah. I'm not even white.
Did you also make out with a chick behind like the Groot Club?
Yes, I did do that. Actually, thank you very much.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I just discovered we went to school together.
But Esports Central, talking about esports.
Yes, we do that quite often in this podcast. If you haven't noticed, we talk about all things local, international that have nothing to do with esports. No, I'm joking. We talk about all the good things international esports, mostly the bad things international esports, and sometimes we talk about local esports. I'm kidding. Every time, every week. Not always good things, not always bad things. We're very neutral on this podcast. We don't offend anybody, and we just have a good, positive time.
Yeah.
But you know what's also positive, Nadia? The results from last week's poll. So let me whip that out for everybody, okay? Coming in at last place in the question, what is the greatest esports event, is League of Losers World Championship at just 7% of our voters. Okay? Last place, League of Losers.
They came behind
Overwatch League at, or Overwatch League playoffs rather, at 11% of the voters. At third place. Second place was ESL One Cologne, Cathedral of Counter-Strike, at 18% of our voters. And number one, guess who? The Dota 2 International, baby. The best event in esports, according to our voters. Get fucking wrecked, Glenn.
I gave it a pity vote because I felt bad for you.
All right, so I appreciate that, Nadia. You care about me.
Just adjust the results accordingly, but it would still have won.
No, good job, Camille. You're sitting there with the fucking high-class groupies around Muzzy and the like. Good job. No, literally. Dota 2, honestly, is at the peak performance of class and etiquette, and I love it. So just a great circle of people there. You know, really just... What the hell does a Dota community locally in South Africa even know what prestigious even means and when the way they behave around each other? So firstly, they can all sit the fuck down.
If only, you know, the Dota 2 community was inspired by great developers like Riot that assault their employees and slap their balls and shit. That's a much better role model, don't you think, Glenn?
I mean, I'd prefer... I guess we're comparing racism to sexism. So if you want to sit there and tell me which one's worse, if you really have a statement on that, you let me know.
All right, so but we scrapped the Esports Central podcast. We now do Olympics of Oppression, baby.
What I'm saying is, like, whatever, man. Olympics of Prestigious. Dota ZA doesn't even know what prestigious means, let alone professional.
Whoa. Whoa, that's some shade in our clientele, man. Fucking
shaded what? I'm telling you, I'll link my articles. It's not shade, it's facts. I told you guys, Spice, I'm here. It's been a minute, so now I'm here to bring it back.
Yeah, we missed you, buddy. I don't know if the listeners did, but we definitely did. So, talking about Spice, Glenn, why don't you bring up the hottest topic of international esports news and talk about the prestigious, now this is really prestigious, Call of Duty World League.
Okay, firstly, before we get to that trash game, the jokes, it's not that hot, nothing that much of a hot take. I wanted to jump into Worlds, firstly. Just League of Legends Worlds. So yeah, okay, y'all may have voted in 7%, but let me tell you, it is shaping up to be one of the most competitive world championships in the history of League. Okay, so you have to obviously look it back in terms of the context. So back when MSI happened, so MSI is one of the semi-annual.
It is the annual.
International.
It's the mid-season international. It only happens once a year.
And then there's Rift Rivals, so it's kind of hard to kind of put it together.
Rift Rivals is not a tournament, let's be real about this. That's an exhibition complained that there weren't enough events, so Riot was like, here, we'll make a shitty one and make you play.
Yeah, we'll do this really shitty one. Okay,
so then, what you just revealed here is that even you don't give it enough of a damn to follow that shit game.
I'm literally about to tell you about how Worlds is shaped up based on all of the leagues. And you didn't tell me I don't care enough. I don't care about Rift Rivals. The point is, MSI basically happened. And MSI is usually like the first sort of, it's like the precursor to Worlds in terms of looking at sort of global strengths. Obviously, the way it works is that basically the top teams of each of the leagues get put together in a tournament and they kind of play against each other. And what was so cool about it is like the final was NA versus the EU. So G2, obviously one of the strongest, arguably the strongest team in the world right now, everyone's saying. And then they played against Team Liquid, NA team, Double Lift, that's my boy. Team Liquid actually beat IG, which is the current world championship holders from China. So basically, the point is that this is probably the most competitive each region's ever been. SKT went through a rampage in the playoffs. Like, they were literally doing so shit at the beginning of the season. They like just got their playoff buffs and went from the wild card region, the wild card matchup, which happens in LCK. And they're the first team to be seeded as a wild card and go through to win the whole of the LCK. So basically, what I'm saying is basically world championships for League. If you want to watch it, I mean, this is probably the most exciting it's ever going to be. So in looking at sort of the reasons, the teams that have qualified so far, in terms of China, there's FunPlus Phoenix. This is a new team that no one's really heard much about until this season, but they've absolutely destroyed the league. They're actually going up against RNG, Royal Never Give Up, in the finals. I think it's happening this weekend. But either way, they've both already secured their place in Worlds, so that's really a thing. They're basically fighting for a first seed, essentially. Korea, looking at SKT1, obviously, they have their comeback story has been ridiculous. I mean, so they're basically on to their goal is basically the team that wins four world championships that no one's even come close to beating that record. I mean, no one's even come close to even like tying up to that. They're going for the four-peat. Griffin, another team that's also got secured second place, although they've got mentally boomed by SKT. I got destroyed.
They're just chokers, bro. Let's be real.
They are. And it's a sad thing because like the team's really young and they've done really well. But North America, we've got Team Liquid, Cloud9 that are obviously there, they're representing. Again, the third team is going to be decided to the gauntlet that's happening this coming weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Look at Taiwan, sort of the MENA regions, HQ still up in there. Europe, not a MENA region, has G2 esports. As far as I know, Fnatic aren't qualified yet, because they don't have enough points just yet, and they just got three. They got reversed by G2.
It would depend on how well they do in the finals.
They're in the lower bracket
at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got to beat Skulk. If they beat Skulk 04, then they'll be secured. But I mean, look, all I'm saying is basically, if you were ever going to watch League of Legends World Championships, that's talking to the 64% that think Dota is better. This is the season to watch it because it's going to be the most competitive we've ever seen. So that's League of Legends news. I don't know if anyone wants to add on to League of Legends news. Otherwise, I'll jump into COD.
Yes, but I'm very intrigued about League of Legends. Please tell me more. I'm kidding. My God.
I just heard like noise. Like,
oh my goodness. I was not just fucking jumping in.
I was during Glenn's speech, Nadia, I was actually going to offer you if you wanted a pillow. I was going to fucking DHL you on right from Joburg to Cape Town just because I thought that speech was never going to end.
And y'all wonder why I haven't been here for so long. It's because I don't miss this abuse. Thank you very fucking much.
We flame, but, because we care.
I don't know about that. Look, sorry, COD. We have spoken about COD before. Obviously, COD's kind of chilling under the Activision Blizzard banner. And so they're starting a World League. Well, just a league, because apparently Call of Duty needs a franchise league. So in terms of sort of the details, this is kind of all pulled up from Dexerto.com. So basically, apparently the league's supposed to start next year in 2020. It's looking to have sort of each team is going to have probably like 7 to 10 players on their roster. People talking, I mean, the Sixers are putting a lot of big facts. I don't know how accurate all this is. They're saying apparently minimum salary is
70K. So they got the deck.
Okay.
That's how
I feel like some of these things, like, there's been so much of this is that's actually
it's, I mean, okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, like, the Call of Duty World League is based on the Overwatch League, so they're trying to do a similar model.
Well, Blizzard. So.
Where they're trying to, like, each team is allied to a city. And
One thing I want to check, though, it's like, obviously, Call of Duty and all its various life forms have existed a lot longer than Overwatch. So when Overwatch kind of came about, there wasn't anything like this, and then Overwatch League was created, and this is it.
But the difference is Overwatch also only has one, like they have a game that's been released, like, so what's three, what is, 4 years now?
So what is going to happen with existing, like, would they be able to still play in? I don't know, I'm kind of jumping the gun here.
You're jumping the gun because Prof was going to set it up for basically the biggest
problem. Oh my god, I didn't know. We didn't discuss this before. Okay, go for it.
Yeah, Prof, you totally didn't have like a 45 minutes pre.
Yeah, we literally did.
I wasn't listening.
Lizzie, Prof made a point. I was like, that's actually the point that's going to be the basis of our discussion. Okay, Prof, as you were, carry on.
The Call of Duty World League is going to be based much on how the Overwatch League runs. There are a number of problems with it, though. Obviously, the multi-time problem that everybody's mentioned with the Overwatch League is that esports doesn't really work when you confine it to a city, and teams are rarely ever from the same city. So, like, it's going to be very, very difficult to market it that way. But the really big news is that while people were willing to get involved in the Overwatch League because, you know, it had potential, they didn't know exactly how much because the game was relatively new. Call of Duty has the opposite problem. It's been around for a while. There's obviously a new game every year, which is definitely going to impact. But the big news for the Call of Duty World League is that, as Glenn will no doubt point out, none of the enormous COD teams are actually going to be joining.
And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we've had discussions on this podcast before around, like, do we think it's viable? Is it, you know, does it work? We've also obviously discussed around Overwatch League and how that's already looking and the numbers and a lot of speculation and sort of criticism that's been faced from some of the big people on the scene, right, in esports, like, globally. But Prof's point about it was just so true. I mean, so I'm just going to read the tweet that actually Prof saw from Slasher. And so the tweet reads as follows. This is Slasher obviously saying this.
Okay, well, I mean, it was announced by Nadeshot. But obviously, okay, so background, Optic no longer exists. It was bought out by Immortals because it went under. So Optic no longer exists as the Optic that everybody would know and love. Yeah. And then FaZe has intimated, because they've got their own issues at the moment. They've got a bunch of court cases going on, and they're involved in a number of other legal battles. They're almost certainly not getting involved, especially because Banks has gone on record saying that when the Overwatch League came out, he was like, I don't see what the point of this is. Like, how do you make any money? Mm. So he's almost certainly not going to be involved in the COD World League. And then Glenn is now going to read to you Nadeshot, the owner of 100 Thieves, the other of, like, the massive COD teams, his announcement.
Yeah. And so the reason why I'm quoting Rod specifically and not necessarily Nadeshot 100 Thieves is just because, like, basically, like, Slash kind of just takes out one of the big points out of that whole. It's an 8 minute 30 second video, but basically, Slash kind of he tweets goes as follows: I've transcribed Nate Shot's video on why 100 Thieves won't be joining the Call of Duty League, and this is in quotation marks, so he's quoting directly. We ain't paying Activision Blizzard nothing. Get that weak shit out of here.
Yeah.
So again, and again, to the point that Prof just made, yes, 100 Thieves literally was OpTic, which is arguably the biggest or second biggest, or, you know, top two biggest orgs within Call of Duty.
I mean, it might be one of the biggest in the world. Like, that's right, how much money they have, especially because they and FaZe especially have been able to turn themselves basically into a lifestyle brand. So crazy amounts of merch and all the rest. And, you know, like, they have huge YouTube followings and all the rest.
So the reasoning behind that, is it just because they have become what they have become? Is it because it's so
because they have to rebrand?
And they would need to also play a certain game, right?
No. Like, they're quite happy to play the game. They've been gotten used to a new COD out every year.
Yeah.
Their biggest issue is they don't understand why they must pay. I mean, okay, the rumor is for COD that it's 40 million a slot.
That's insane.
Right? Yeah. And they now have to rebrand. So it's not 100 Thieves, it's like the New York Thieves or the LA Thieves. Why are you going to tank your brand? Yeah, it's like asking Nike, can you just add like something else to your to the Nike swoosh? What's Nike going to tell you? No.
Look, I think there's a lot to pull out of that. But I mean, for me, the biggest thing to understand is, like, this is one of your biggest organizations. One of the orgs that basically made the game as popular as it is, arguably. I mean, they really have helped to push the game to be as big, as relevant as it is, you know, in some degree. For them to not even have, to them actually just, like, literally tweeting or saying this kind of thing in an interview on the official platform. So this is not rumors. This isn't an interview being misquoted. This is 100% their video that they put out saying, fuck that shit, basically giving Blizzard and Activision a middle finger. So for me, on the one hand, that's a really good saying, you don't get the buy-in for, like, the most important people on your scene, which is already a huge problem, which again goes back to something we've mentioned before with Blizzard, is that they just rush to get an esports scene out without talking to people, that's speculation, but they just rush. They always rush to get something put out without understanding how other leagues got it done. I think for me, this is the equivalent of saying, you know, if League of Legends, for example, if TSM were to go, fuck your shit, we don't want any part of franchising, and then literally we're going to walk away from the game. Admittedly, it's a little different because 100 Thieves and OpTic, whatever, they've got a lot more going on, and they're not just so esports driven. And obviously the big thing that Prof is saying, Call of Duty, a lot of the big following is actually around the YouTube videos. That's where these guys have their following and their big pool, and where they get the revenue from is how big the YouTube community is, which is not reliant on esports, right? So there are differences between sort of, you know, what my comparison I've just made with TSM and 100 Thieves in this regard. But it's a bit worrying when, like, one of the biggest orgs in your game.
Who would be the biggest org that has confirmed that they're buying in?
Let me check. I'll try to pull it up for you. But the problem is, it's the same as the Overwatch League, is that very few of the, like, big inbuilt esports orgs bought into OWL. And it seems like it's going to be the same. But let me just pull up the figures.
Like, quickly. Well, I kind of followed, you know, Dallas Fuel because of that initially. So I because do wonder. God, now I'm like sitting here with a mouthful of. What do you call it? Cotton wool.
Are you
and I'm not
teeth?
Trying to.
Mouthful of teeth.
So
I'm
so
sleepy.
No, look, I'm just saying. I mean, whilst Prof pulling up this kind of the name, I do think it just shows bad planning, where you don't even have a buy-in for one of the biggest orgs in the scene. And the problem is, why this is such a huge issue for Call of Duty and the idea of trying to be franchise, like 100 Thieves would bring viewership. And we've spoken about it again on this podcast. We've spoken about it in the past, where if you look at sort of the COD championships, the finals, I think there was one season where OpTic got kicked out. They got knocked out. I think it was OpTic. That was a surprise loss, and the viewership plummeted. So the thing is, if you are now talking to various prospective stakeholders, right, whether it be guys investing in Blizzard and Activision directly, or if it's speaking to the orgs that want to get involved, you're giving them numbers. You're going, cool, this is COD. This is what our world championship did last year, and these are the numbers it got. these are the YouTube channels. You know what I mean? If you're going to build an entire ROI presentation, right?
Okay.
Something ZS Esports doesn't even know how to do still yet because of, anyway, so I'm going to go there.
Very but, positive, you know, Glenn. I like
I
it.
I know. I'm here for spite. If you're going to pull up all those numbers, right, a massive part of those numbers comes from the guys like Optic, who are 100 Thieves. So if your big, one of your biggest like sort of holders or carry weights and tentpole organizations in your scene just gave you the middle finger, everyone's going to go, okay, cool. You're going to redo that deck with the new numbers, and then we're going to sit and talk to you about it again in terms of how much we're going to willing to pay or if we're not going to get involved in it at all.
So, it's okay, so here we go. We've got the things. So the New York City one is owned by Sterling VC. Anybody know who they are?
Nope.
They are the owners of the New York Excelsior in Overwatch League. They're owned by Sterling Equities.
Oh, the guy who used to own the Clippers.
Nope. Is the owners of the New York Mets baseball franchise.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, so not an inbuilt org. Atlanta Esports Ventures, anybody know who they are?
Nope.
Overactive Media?
Nope.
Well, that sounds really heavyweight.
So they own Splice. They're one of the parent company, or they're a parent company for Splice. So
you could have literally told me that's Fabio with whatever Evo Media, and I would have believed you. I did not know that.
Wow.
The Paris one is owned by Contact Gaming.
Contact.
Yeah, I mean, even this article doesn't know who Contact Gaming is. The franchise has been purchased by Contact Gaming LLC, but little else is known about the team. Dallas is owned by Team Envy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised
that they're like taking the risk twice.
Well, I mean, it depends. They're obviously in Overwatch League as well as the Dallas Fuel, but isn't the Fuel like an absolute mess?
The Fuel is an absolute mess because they couldn't play GOATs, and then they made them play GOATs, and now then they suck balls, and now they have to recover from all of that. So that's fine.
I mean, their CSGO team is also garbage. So
kind of the word that I couldn't remember was a two-syllable word: envy.
Nice.
I mean, that's why I initially followed. Well, I'm still cheering for the Dallas Fuel, but I mean, there's nothing to cheer at the moment.
Isn't that sort of like cheering a hand-to-hand combat in a dumpster?
You're just literally like,
that's the best kind of hand-to-hand combat. What are you talking about?
It's just such a mess. You're just sitting there like, what am I doing with my life watching this?
You don't even have to watch it because, you know, they're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the Florida one is owned by Misfits, who own the Florida Mayhem. Mayhem are the worst. They're the worst Overwatch team, aren't they? I think leagues, they have like the worst, like the
wait,
least.
Misfits is also in Overwatch. Which is ironic.
Florida
yeah. Misfits Gaming, who own Florida Mayhem.
Yeah, I say because the League of Legends team is trash. So, I mean.
Okay. And
they did do better, by the way, Florida Mayhem. They started out ridiculously bad this year.
They've improved. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, okay, I know Misfits. Immortals Gaming Clubs, and this is Optic. So it's not the Optic that everybody would remember. This is not owned by Hex.
It's Cyber.
So the guy.
But Immortals is quite a big brand as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but they bought out Optic. Yeah. So they got loads of money, but they're not like. Yeah, they're not like a huge brand in esports as such. Like, if you were going to ask COD, the COD community, who's Optic, they'll be able to tell you a lot quicker than if you ask them who's Immortals.
But it would have you kind of thinking, who the heck is going to be watching these games?
Well, okay, so here's
the big name pools.
And here's the last two. The Minnesota branch. Okay, I don't know. I mean, Minnesota didn't know that was like esports is big there. That's owned by Wise Ventures.
Wise.
Yeah, they come with an extensive pedigree in sports to back up their ambitions. So not an esports league.
Not the same
thing. And the other Los Angeles team, because Los Angeles always seems to need two teams, is owned by Crunky Sports and Entertainment. So this is Camille's
team. This
is Camille's soccer team's owner. The guy that won't spend any money on his soccer team.
Oh, so Arsenal can give fucking 25 million budget, oh, sorry, 40 million to play fucking COD, but
Arsenal.
They can't buy
no
a defender.
No one cares about your pain. You guys are sitting there, bottom of what? You guys were fucked up by us 3-1. Sit down. Okay, let the big
and
boys
talk. The 40 million might not even be Los Angeles, bro. Like, Los Angeles might be even more because
Arsenal should actually get involved in the Call of Duty League. Maybe they'll win a trophy.
No, they are. I mean, they're owned by Stan Kroenke. And Crunky's yeah, Sports and Entertainment.
That wasn't about that wasn't my information, which you know.
You know what?
Insult Kamyo.
Can you please leave the podcast again? Like, it was so I feel like I didn't appreciate the piece without you, yeah.
I've missed listening to shitty Arsenal fans whine about how bad their team is.
You know what? Your team has been not a team for the last 40 years. Now you guys win one trophy and you all think you're good.
Okay,
shit.
Do you really want to talk about 40 years? Do you want to talk about 40 years ago and see who
okay,
was
who
for
lost
like the
one
next 15?
You know what? You know what? This is an esports podcast.
Who lost one?
Drop it.
The Champions
Drop
League. It. That's a good question. Let's ask.
Glenn,
Carl,
what
you're...
I did is I just yes. actually blocked those terms from my timeline. I should probably do it with more toxic terms, but I felt like if I just did, you know, football, Arsenal and all these things, then that is gone. And it creates a more cohesive reading experience.
Funny thing, actually, I pitched an idea to the brand. Yeah, I want to build an app that literally just does just that. It just blocks out all the football talk so that no one has to deal with it and listen to it. Yeah, no, fair point. Fair point. Also, Gadalili, I hear your implied threat.
Yeah, but I mean,
I will shut up now.
To get back to the point, you can see that like there's not a lot of well-known esports orgs getting involved here. Like there's no Cloud9. Cloud9 bought into the Overwatch League. They can certainly find the money to get involved in here. Obviously, no FaZe. There's no 100 Thieves. So, I mean, it speaks to a rather worrying trend that a lot of the orgs are not getting involved in this, which means that they're getting VC money, which is just going to evaporate as soon as these leagues inevitably don't, you know, show whoever's promising them figures.
Yeah.
If they can't match those figures that are being promised, like, what do you do?
I just where's the draw to watch, you know, Wishkul Nikumalan play, you know, Call of Duty versus some other team you've never heard it from?
I mean,
but
I
think, I don't think it's necessarily a bad... I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for Blizzard Activision. I think this was part of their plan, right? It wasn't about appealing to the esports brands. It was appealing to the likes of the Arsenal funders and the fucking people who own the Lakers and shit. Like, the people who... they want that venture capital money.
Yeah, no. Like, certainly. Like, right now... Overwatch is Activision and Blizzard are probably like the best salesmen that I've seen in any form of esports, right? Because they can convince these people to part with mad amounts of money. What I'm saying is that in 2-3 years time, when you've promised them X, Y, and Z, and oh, look, there'll be returns, what happens when these org owners start saying like, okay, well, I mean, like with Overwatch, they were promised a portion of the portion of the sales of the media rights. Right?
Uh-huh.
So, like, you'd sell the media rights so that you can view it on television. They must got that huge $90 million Twitch stream.
Yeah.
Right? Are they going to get a $90 million Twitch deal next year when it's finished?
No one knows.
That's
the
big problem.
The whole thing, right?
That's the big problem, is because Twitch ain't going to do that deal. If you see the figures that Overwatch gets, like $90 million, that's like a crazy amount of money to pay for what they eventually got. So if Twitch walks out, that means that any sort of like bonus money that the teams are supposed to get from, you know, the sales of the viewing rights, it's just gone. And that's the big worry, is because once those teams start moving out, then they sell over to the next person who also, I mean, if they're even willing to buy, but they'll also walk in based on promises that just can't be fulfilled.
I think it's also
just a chain.
Always been a problem in that you don't know. So you can obviously see Twitch numbers, but you don't know how successful any of the ESPN stuff is. You don't know if people are watching it, you know, directly. Well, no, most of it does redirect anyways to Twitch. So, ugh.
Yeah.
But guys, what I will say though on the other side, and again, obviously this is pure speculation. We don't have the entire say this for sure or not. But keep in mind that how Riot reacted to people, specifically Immortals, trying to get into Overwatch and League of Legends when they were franchising, they got shut down very quickly, and they got kicked out of League essentially, or not kicked. They weren't selected to be part of League.
Yeah, they were told that your figures are not legit, even though that's quite laughable considering some of the other teams they let in.
Well, yeah, but also again, having said that, we don't know that for sure. Because, and like, my thing is also everyone loves to paint like. And deservedly so, Riot does get a lot of shit for how they react. But again, no one has hard evidence to say yes or no. But what I am saying is, based on what we do know, is that they joined Overwatch already. And then what people are saying was that Riot was nervous about them joining a league they didn't feel was going to work because it put their own business within League of Legends under threat. So having raised that point, it kind of makes sense why you won't see Cloud9 being jumping onto the scene. And again, the biggest speculation could actually be the real reason why Undead Thieves are not getting involved with Kikod. It could very much be that Riot pressured them and going, you guys just got back into the league. We've just let you get away with being part of Overwatch. And then now you're jumping back onto the league within, you know, in terms of Undead Thieves and things. That now Riot's going, guys, you're not going to get to pull this up again.
There's no way that Riot's going to have anything to say to 100 Thieves about, oh, you're not allowed to get involved in Call of Duty.
But they literally did it with IMT, though, is what I'm saying.
The
facts
no,
were
no,
that
no.
That
yeah, but the difference was there was IMT wanted to get into League of Legends. So they were coming to them. If 100 Thieves already owns a team, do they not in League of Legends? Yeah, they do. So how's Riot going to just be like, oh, sorry, we're going to kick you out of this franchise league that you bought into?
Let's also not pretend like Riot has not set a
precedent
where they will make
They certainly will do that. But if you kick 100 Thieves out just because they're getting involved in the COD League, dude, no, that's never going to happen.
Don't get me wrong. It'd be
that's
shit.
Never gonna happen.
They have but they have a monopoly, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If you're an org that wants to get involved into the biggest game in the world, right, which is League of Legends, like let's talk about in terms of esports, right?
Yeah,
like,
in esports,
no,
yeah, it's not the biggest game.
Esports. No, I'm talking about esports specifically. That is literally, and if League of Legends isn't making money, then it's like, where else are you going to make it? So they have the monopoly at the end of the day. I don't think I wouldn't put it past Riot to be a douche org and give 100 Thieves a kind of statement and say, listen, you fucking join that shit, we're going to kick you out with some dumbass reason. They'll come up with something. They can do whatever they want.
Because... And then 100 Thieves will epically fuck them.
So,
but here's the thing. Monte Cristo fucking didn't survive.
Yeah, but yeah. Monte Cristo is one man. It's not 100 Thieves, which is one of the biggest orgs in the world, dude. Imagine if Riot try to kick Cloud9 out of League of Legends.
Riot has been sexually assaulting their literally player, like their employee force.
They don't give no damn.
They got away with everything. I think they'll manage one fucking organization that doesn't come close to their level of clout. Okay, League of Legends, Riot Games is a multinational company, right? They will fucking take 100 Thieves fucking through the window whenever they fucking want. They don't have the budget to compete with Riot, and especially Tencent behind them. No one can compete with them.
Hey, question, right? So one thing, though, with what's interesting to me is that Envy would take this risk twice.
You know, like, I'm not a gambling man, but when I do, I always double down, you know?
All
I know is rumors, but like, from what I understand about the rumors about Envy is that like the owner is just willing to like get involved into like just about anything. Like he's probably getting kickbacks for getting involved there.
All right. So if you're the owner of Envy listening to this podcast, we promise you it's a $25 million buy-in year, but we're going to be the biggest and bestest podcast in South African esports. This is where you're going to make your money. We are the Blizzard Activision of fucking South African esports. $25 million buy-in. You can get in your Envy owner. We're ready for it. Venture capital, boys.
I think that was his response there in that moment of silence.
Feels bad, man.
Tough. It's a hard world.
All right, are you done talking about Call of Duty, Glenn?
I am indeed. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how it goes, but yes.
All right.
I'm with
Nadia.
What?
Overwatch?
Oh, yeah. Overwatch is still existing.
Wow.
I haven't been playing it except for like twice in like a week because my addiction to Ark stole me away. I need help. Okay, so what do we have in Overwatch? There has been, we're getting close to the end of the year. The grand finals already coming up at the end of September.
Okay, so who's contesting?
And the crowd goes high. Woo! We'll be looking forward
you
to
know what?
So much.
Glenn, I'm just going to say,
win the Champions League? That's what I thought.
I'm just going to say that your fucking game, 7% of our voters, dude. Overwatch League playoffs has been around for 1 year and it's already more popular than your
shit
game.
Yeah, well, then game. You and Muzzy and an Overwatch can also down and chat about how great esports. There's so much spice. I'm sorry. It's been so long. I'm bringing it. Okay,
the best thing about the Muzzy jokes is he'd be more offended than me.
I'm here for it.
Hashtag worth.
Anyway, sorry. Nadia, tell us about the most exciting game that's 11% of
third
South
most exciting
game. Yeah, that's South Africa kids. I don't know what the hell's going on today. I'm apparently from the Free State. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know if you're saying apparently. Are you from the Free State or not?
I am indeed apparently. Not. I'm from the Eastern Cape where we don't have accents. Okay.
You guys don't even have tar roads, though. So, I mean, you know, what you are know you what? Really winning
I
with them?
I drove 30 kilometers a day. Well, I didn't. My mom did. On a dirt road to get to school every day. So, I can't fight that. So
you can see you're a millennial and not a previous generation, because if you were a previous generation, you would have been like, I walk 30 kilometers a day.
Come here, so you're like 12 years old. You're not even...
Listen, I
feel
my time when shit like every day. When I was your age, I used to walk water to school, all that Come shit.
Do you
know?
Remember? Do you remember what dial-up was? Were you even there when dial-up was around?
No.
I was joking. Are you serious?
No, I was around, but like I never needed the internet those days.
Doesn't know, like he doesn't know the glorious sound of.
I want to find it. I need to find it. The best was.
Remember, like if you're old, you'll remember this, like me. On weekends, there would be like a, I think it was
Seven rand. Yeah. From seven on Friday till like 7 a.m. on Monday, and then it was just like a 7 rand call.
Yep,
and if anybody phoned, that person was dead.
Yeah, because my fucking aunt, Tani Anneli, would phone my mom every weekend. And I'm on the internet, mom.
Correct.
I'm just saying. Great family relations. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Overwatch League.
Overwatch.
We're getting close to the end. Okay, who is actually there? We've got Atlanta Reign. Where I've come up top. San Francisco Shock is still up there. All the Gungzals and Hungzals and Los Angeles Gladiators. Vancouver Titans still in. Florida Mayhem, by the way, still in the top eight. As well as the Washington Justice, which I think has also kind of done a bit better. Because, so that is now this weekend. They're still playing. And then there's still games the weekend after. And then we are getting to the end of the month. And it is going to be the grand finals at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia.
I just want to know where our boys Shanghai Dragons are. And we all know that's Prof's favorite team because they did such a good job of turning it into
a... Let me look at the standings. Wait. Stage playoff. Stage four standings. Where is... What? 18th? Out of 20?
Wait, what? No,
that's playoff.
That's Dallas Fuel.
Dallas Fuel is 19.
You can hear the pain.
What the fuck? I thought we had a whole thing where they turned it around and they won the stage. How are they sitting at the bottom of the log? I don't even understand.
They turned the frown upside down and then they spin the ball again. So
is that for the season or is that for the stage?
I am looking at the stage playoffs. Let me look at the league. Oh, Florida Mayhem is still bottom of a bunch. And I can't read words. Where is? Am I blind? 11th. Okay, that's a lot better where they were. I mean, come on.
Okay. Well, yeah, I will take it. I mean,
they end with 61. Wow, I can't read words here. Okay, 15 losses, 13 wins. I mean, that's still great.
Look, I feel like they're taking the whole spectrum. They're doing from like they went from being bottom, then they went to being the top. And now they're doing middle table. So I feel like they just want to get a feel of like all of the table. And
like
then
where
decide.
They're comfortable and, you know, maybe eventually they'll be comfortable with just winning.
Speaking of which, there is a team. Speaking of like, I mean, just because obviously for people that don't know, Shanghai Dragons had arguably people are kind of saying it's like the worst record in the history of just any sports. Where they went 0-40, hey?
Zero and 42.
So there's a team in, I think it's a Japanese, no, it's the CIS region for League of Legends. These guys went like 0-29 in best of series. Like they literally went 0, like they didn't win a single game to the end of the season. And that is literally the worst record in the history of League of Legends. So, you know, every year teams are just looking to just really push the envelope of what it means to be trash.
Yeah, they clearly went White Rabbit Amaryllis. I was in that team for a couple of months. I can say that.
I just saw that heat from far away from here.
Just Should a smoke we win in your anything? House now, yeah.
Just check your kitchen because it's a.
It was a tough time. Don't join all girl teams. It will make you sad. What else was I gonna say? So that looks pretty cool. It also means that that will be the obviously. Almost like a homestand type of game. So we also got the prices that you can start ordering for next year's Overwatch League, which is going to be the home games. which is going to be...
These things are nuts, if I remember correctly, right? This... Like, the nosebleed seats are like $40 a day.
Dude, like, I was... So, I can't do maths, which is why I studied law. We're looking at a rand is currently 15 rand for, like, a dollar, right? So, just keep this in mind. The cheapest one on here is $40 for the Gladiators, which I'm actually surprised about because, you know, Gladiators are a pretty dope team. They've got very good social
$40
media,
per person per day.
That is for general, right? VIP, $299, which is generally the VIP, however, would give you, or a GM upgrade, would give you like meet and greets, early arena access.
And bags, goodies, etc.
Maybe a t-shirt, stuff like that. So it goes between, I think the most expensive one dollar-wise is the Boston Uprising, which is like one of the shittest teams with a logo that says BJ. basically, they are charging you $118 for general admission.
For like a once-off ticket?
That's your once-off ticket, general.
To watch one best
day.
Of whatever.
For the day.
Yeah, for the day.
Think about that, Camille. That's R1,000 to go watch a garbage-ass team play.
Yeah, and then the VIP ticket is $354. Then you move on to, so Paris Eternal. And remember some of these teams, I think, who was it? I think, is it Boston Uprising? There's some of them don't even really have a location yet, but you can book it. Yeah, it is Boston Uprising, currently venueless. Paris Eternal.
It's even better.
General, $272. And the VIP ticket, a massive $659.
What?
$659. Which will get you 6 days of Overwatch. So I think you can basically go twice. So you buy the ticket and you can basically I don't know why I say six times, but I mean it. I know it's generally 2 days. Oh, the general admission is for 2 days, but it's still that's a lot. That's more than if you go to Comic-Con, and I'm cheap for that. So,
but I mean, if you think about it, when you talk about like team, like paying money to like what's a shit team. Arsenal versus Watford, if you just buy a ticket there, that's 119 euros.
But that's Arsenal. That's at least a good team playing.
Watching a shit team play for 120 euros, that's robbery.
That's exactly the point. It's like, imagine paying $120 to go watch like a freaking championship team in like some nothing game. Like, what? What? Why am I getting like robbed of all of my money?
Prophecy? Are you trying to tell me? The Overwatch League isn't as prestigious as the NBA?
No, shit. But listen, the pricing is. Maybe it's because I'm poor and from the third world, but that is a heck of a lot of money.
Think about this, right? You can go and watch, I think, Elton John's tickets, his farewell tour in
Vegas.
But
will you be sitting in the first row? You could like I could
a decent
feel
seat,
the sweat from Mickey's face.
Like
fall
a
on
decent
me.
Seat at Elton John's farewell, right? I think is like $300. Think about that now.
I'd probably pay that to see Lana Del Rey and cry.
I just hope local TOs don't think that anyone's going to pay any money, real money, kind of watch teams to compete here later. I'm just going to put that out there. Just in case people are hearing ideas. Because there's been some wild tweets happening, which we'll get into later. But
I can confirm that I will not pay to go and watch a local team play.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think. The problem is, if there's an event, yes, but not to go and watch.
Yeah, this
them
is
play.
Just like a random game. It's like, oh, it's the homestand. Like the games are being played. Yeah, okay, and I don't care.
You're paying. That amount of to go watch like just one game.
No. So it would be the game.
It would be like three or four games.
Yeah.
But it's like a day pass though.
But also,
it's a day pass for R1,000.
Okay, no, like I said, this is general admission will generally give you it's 2 days, so over the weekend.
All right. But, okay, so $500 a day.
Yeah, so I'm thinking obviously it will work different next year, my queer owl. Okay, from what we currently have, which has been the game start like on a Friday, Thursday evening run through, and then like on our time zone, it's done by the Sunday.
You know what's crazy though?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was saying, like, I'm just looking at League of Legends World Championship tickets.
How much is
it? 2019. If you want to look at group tickets, for group stage, sorry. So obviously there's a plane when like wild cards are playing, but in terms of group stage, and it's happening in Europe, group stage at Berlin. If you want to get a gold thing during the weekday, it's 18 mm-hmm. euros. Silver is 15 euros. Talking weekend, whoa, your gold, your maximum is going to be 30 euros. Quarterfinals, platinum tickets, 30 euros. Semifinals.
What does that give you? Because I don't understand.
That's so
like,
cheap.
595 euros for the Paris Eternal VIP, right?
Yeah.
They say you get 6 days of Overwatch for that. Because they haven't, individual Paris tickets have not been announced yet. But yeah, you're supposed to,
600
you know,
euros.
You're supposed to either be there, because I know you also, some of them will be offering like boxes and booths and stuff. But most of these VIP things is just to be as close to the stage as possible. And then generally you get some kind of concession stuff, like, you know, a drink and a snack or food. Maybe
I better get
a
whole
a
car
baggy
if I'm paying that amount of money to go watch the freaking Paris.
I'd be breaking the dude and stealing all the hot dogs.
You actually can get a car for that cheap in America.
But I do get to the point, but to Nardis' point, we have to ask what they're getting out of it. My big issue, though, is that they're trying to put a pricing system that doesn't work.
Especially
unless
because
you're playing in a, for example, saying like you need a separate ticket between like semifinals, quarterfinals, all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so for me, the fact that like League of Legends, and again, and the reason why I mentioned like, I know we all making jokes about games, but like, you know, arguably one of the biggest, you know, biggest games in terms of numbers in the world, esports, sorry. So for them to be charging gold tickets, which is the highest level you can get, 30 euros for group stage. And I mean, I would imagine group stage means you're getting access to group stage. So you're going to get for those days. That difference is too high.
I can tell you that.
I mean, Glenn, I think it's a very important point that you bring up, that you have to, like, Riot has to pay people to come watch their shit game. Like, I think it's really
Nadia,
fair.
As you were saying, you're going to make a good point.
No. I was just going to dig it up, like, for the grand finals this year. So that is, you get a 50 Rand ticket. $50 ticket, $49. And if you get a master upgrade, you get dedicated entrance, a little baggy, a lanyard, and a stupid thingy that says you were there.
Oh, lanyards. That's what I love.
I mean, I love lanyards. Then you get the grandmaster upgrade, which sounds very witchery, which is you get a meet and greet with some of the players, well, the all-star players, early entrance, and as well as the above. Then you get the ultimate master package, and I'm hitting my mic, sorry, which is $300. And this is still not even as much as you're paying for just going to a regular game. If you pay the ultimate master seat, like, package thing, you get that Soldier 76 statue for team signings. You get an onstage photo, concert, onsite parking, a waiter service. You get all of the above that the people, you know, the other plebs got, and you get seats in the first three rows.
I'm perfectly happy with that. Like, that's fine. That, like, that thing is nuts. So, like, the amount of stuff you're getting there, I mean, that's like buying a booth,
like,
at a soccer stadium. So
no,
that's
Soldier
fine, right?
Soldier 76 statue alone is cuck expensive.
No, that's perfectly fine. You said it starts at $50.
Yeah. Putting
Glenn,
up, yeah.
What's the most expensive spot at the League of Legends World Cup Finals?
So they have three ratios here. You're looking at the lowest entry for this is the finals, which is happening in Paris, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world. Silver, you're talking 40 euros. Gold level, talking 60 euros. And then the most expensive is your platinum, 80 euros.
Oof. You're paying $50 for a shit seat at Overwatch League.
You might be seen in the background saying,
please explain to me how these people think that they're going to fill out their stadium.
Though, it's consistent to how they built their league. The fact that they were asking more than double or almost, it was 20 mil, right? They were talking for spots. They're asking the level of League of Legends took years to build to get to that point. And on top of that, Riot didn't even want to do franchising yet. Let's keep that in mind. The NA teams were like, forced them to go get it done now. And then Europe followed afterwards going, guys, we also want in. So Riot didn't even want to get there yet, even though they had one of the most popular games esports games in the world. And now you as Blizzard are going to go, we have the nerve to ask the same amount of money as guys that have literally built an entire scene. And let's also be honest, I'm not sure if we can shit on Riot. They did bring up broadcasting esports to a level that wasn't seen before, right? They really did bring production level that had never really been seen before within esports. Like, you know, they did a lot. So for Blizzard to go, hey, we've just joined, like, we're the new kid on the block. Anyways, we're basically like Riot. We don't have any evidence. We don't have the numbers to back it up. We didn't have the player base to back it up, but pay us that much. And then everyone went, yes, we will. Here, money. Take it.
Nope. That
just seems nuts. Just seems
I will say,
nuts.
Though, for Overwatch League, that they have had 20 teams buying in for the alleged 60 million to 120 million. So we can laugh at the motherfuckers all we want.
What are you talking about? 60 million? No, bro. What are you smoking?
60 to 120 million. That was the different numbers.
Not a
fuck. No, dude.
Fake news, Carmel, right here. Wow.
What's the number?
At most, it was 20 million for like the Los Angeles slots.
Second, So the second round got up to, it's all speculative, 40 to 60, at max 60. And again, it was speculation. And then everyone started shitting on the speculation as well. So we don't even know for sure. But dude, it wasn't even close. It didn't go above 60 mil.
All right. If it's 20 million, round. Still you have 20 million, like 20 teams buying in for 20 million at the bare minimum.
Yeah,
it's
for
like...
sure. It makes money. But here's the thing. Yeah.
No. I just want to say, I think if... if Overwatch survives
as you said it.
2020 and this homestand weekend, and they're not total, you know, there's one Quissy sitting in the back, like in the 10th row because he couldn't afford the first three rows, and there's nobody else there.
Big if.
Then I can see that maybe we can go on like this. I'm being told that I am, in fact, a mouth breather.
It happens.
Oh, that's just
Glenn's is very rude.
Wow, Carmel, that was literally I'm gonna screenshot this shit before you start slandering me with fakeness. Okay, we've shut on Overwatch enough.
Yeah.
Shame.
Let's talk about our actual most important piece of news.
Oh my god. I was going to still complain about season 18 that almost happened and then it didn't, but
jump,
I guess
jump
that
in
sums it.
It
up.
Jump
that sums
in
it.
It
up. So all right. Basically
that was a pretty good TLDR.
We had a roll queue beta that started, and it was awful and it was horrible, and I still haven't finished my placements as a DPS because of it. But so we were supposed to start the new season 18 competitive thing, but you know, Blizzard and their struggle to do things right kind of messed it up a little bit. We had Grandmaster, including Owl players, placing gold.
Oof.
What?
Placing in gold. So, for example, who was it that I saw? The San Francisco Shock, Haubin, was placed like in mid gold, and then he won a game and he got 2 SR for his efforts. It's supposed to be between like what 14, 19, 25, and so they kind of recalled it, and we're back with the beta.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, the game's perfect.
Great
it's working
game.
Fine.
Great game. Absolutely.
Competitive
as
is not a toxic cesspool. So on to the real news.
All right. CSGO, Prof, take it away.
We've been talking quite a bit about, obviously, franchise leagues and all the rest. And sometime today, usually about midday, some news came out. In an interview with the Crazy CEO. Now, Crazy is a team that currently they have a team from Eastern Europe. It's a bunch of guys made from places like Serbia and the surrounding countries. And this CEO in an interview with HLTV sort of dropped the news that, there was going to be a franchise league that had been backed by Valve and by ESL. And it was like a 2 million buy-in. And it set the whole world aflutter, essentially, in Counter-Strike, because there's been rumors for many years that, like, there's been a number of organizations, TOs, trying to create these exclusive leagues that you had to be part of, and, you know, you couldn't play an ESL and an ECS, for example, like, because they were opposing companies, they wouldn't allow each other to, or that was at least the idea, and a lot of it was originally driven by ESL, so... this news came as a shock to many because there had been some rumors in the scene that Valve was getting involved with some sort of league last year, and then they died a few months back. So everybody sort of like continued on, and the news today coming out that there is going to be a franchise league for 2 million, like it sort of shocked a lot of people because this came out of the blue somewhat. It's been tempered though. I will say that since that original news came out, it's appeared because ESL released, I think it was about 2 hours later, they released a video saying, oh no, how they're going to, it's like an exclusive league that they've now going to join all of their 20 tournaments throughout a year. All of their leagues and tournaments are now going to count for a worldwide season type thing that'll be run throughout the year. Details are still somewhat sketched. They do say that they'll announce it at ESL One New York after the, which is going to be taking place after the major. So we'll learn everything there. I can confirm, though, that this league does contain some pretty heavy scheduling, some pretty heavy exclusivity requirements. You can get all of the exact details from the guy DK. He's one of the primary reporters in the CSGO scene. He's announced, I'm not going to read all the stuff because it's quite a lengthy set, but it does include exclusivity. So any team that wants to be part of the ESL and DreamHack branch of tournaments, which are at the moment the biggest and the most prestigious, will not be able to be part of the Face It Run tournaments, ECS, etc. Whether Valve is part of this is, at this point, rather sketchy. It doesn't seem as though Valve is part of it. Valve has historically been very hands-off in any of the games that they have esports for, and CSGO in particular. We almost never hear anything from them. So at best, we think that what this will mean is that ESL have decided that ESL is running this by themselves, and that Valve might have just said, it's okay, they can continue. But outside of that, this whole thing seems to be like a massive play from ESL to try and control the whole of the CSGO scene. And I mean, at the moment, they're by far the most, I would say, popular TO, although popular is not the really correct word. I think the most prestigious TO. I think they've run the best tournaments over the last 2 years, and they certainly have been able to get their own tournaments into a very high level of prestige just by being good at what they do.
Yeah, I think ESL, even in the Dota scene, like, they get a lot of flack in terms of popularity from the Dota scene because of the whole Facebook thing, and they get chat on and stuff. Or they got a lot of flack during that period. But I think in terms of the events they host, I think it's some of the best events you see in esports, if yeah. not the best in terms of third party hosts.
So yeah, this whole tournament circuit they announced is going to be worth about $5 million. Now that's a very nice figure to put down on paper, but actually it's $5 million spread across all of their tournaments, which is, I think, it's something like only a 10% increase at best on what they currently offer on those exact same tournaments. So what it seems like they're trying to build here is something like the tennis scene, where you have to like play the Masters tournaments to gain points so that you can get a qualification to the championship level tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it appears to be, but we'll know a lot more when ESL One New York rolls around.
Right. I think, like, usually I'd be quite skeptical of seeing guys trying to franchise a league and, like, make it exclusive and that kind of stuff. But I think, in my opinion, ESL have done a really spectacular job in all the stuff they've been doing recently. And I think for till the ends of times in esports, I think they're one of the best, you know? So I'm curious to see how it goes. But like you said, it's a lot more hype than actually is there, because the tournaments are the same. All these things, as Xtreme's mentioned to me earlier as well, have been running anyway. It's just now they package it together and, like, okay, it's a league, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot more impressive in, like, the presentation than it actually is going to be in practice. So, for the most part, I think ESL has scored something of a coup here, because you try this 2 years ago, there would have been mass outrage if this occurs. I mean, there was just mass outrage when ESL was trying it 2 years ago. Just the rumors were enough to cause people to get super upset. So, the fact that they've dropped this news today, and, I mean, I haven't seen much outrage. I mean, I haven't been on Reddit, so, like, maybe the people there are going wild. But, I mean, in general, a lot of the top-level commentators and talent and, you know, even the teams involved haven't really said anything, nothing from the players. So it's surprising that it's gone over this well. Generally, this would have caused a huge amount of problems.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So there could be a lot of buy-in from the players. I mean, maybe the teams have already signed up. That's why none of the players are shit-talking, because, again, contracts should have come out.
Apparently, this deal has been done in collaboration. Again, allegedly, we don't know all the details. But apparently, this deal has been done with the CSGO Players Association.
Oh, wow. So they really have went all out here.
Yeah, like this, I mean, this is not going to cause much drama. I mean, it's got, at the moment...
Don't underestimate the community.
3 hours ago...
Someone will find a thing.
Okay, so 3 hours ago... So these are the two articles. Front page of Reddit. 3 hours ago, the ESL Pro Tour was announced. That's a little video that ESL put up. 572 upvotes, 110 comments. 5 hours ago, crazy CEO talking about a Valve-supported league with $2 million buy-in. 765 upvotes, 119 comments.
All right. It's fair stuff. So, I think that obviously we can all weigh in here on the pros and cons of the franchise league sort of system, but yeah. I think ESL have already made the strides of having sort of broadcast deals like they had with Facebook, etc. So having a franchise league, we can be like, listen, yeah, I got 20 leagues running. We knew there's going to be these amounts of events. All these teams have signed up. This is the buy-in. This is all. If they want to sell sort of broadcast deal, broadcast rights and that kind of shit, again, I think it's quite a good platform to do that with.
It's now. It's a better platform than something like the Call of Duty World League and the Overwatch League to start, because those teams had to basically create the whole thing from the ground up. ESL here already has a fairly mature scene. They know exactly, you know, they have a fairly good idea of what they can expect throughout the year. It's really just about locking in the teams and whether the teams will agree to it. But if ESL runs the best events and runs 20 events a year, I mean, it's not all teams are going to enter all 20, but let's say that like they're required to enter to eight of those, right? Yep. It's at least eight events that you can go to, and they'll be perfectly happy to accept it, and it seems like they are. So,
all right, that where we stand. GK, Gadalili, you guys, anything to add about that?
Nope. We were still just like basically wondering why the heck would anybody want to go into a franchise with all the franchise crap that's going on. We just talk about it.
Firstly, League of Legends did it fine. So you keep your Overwatch, your Blizzard shit there. Okay, everyone else did it perfectly fine. Honestly, I'd actually think CSGO would be the sport, like the other esports, that could actually do it really well, if be told. I just think it comes down to how you actually express that to the community. Because I think what CSGO prides itself on and what the community loves so much is that the best of the best are competing every night, like all the time, right? That was a flack that Astralis had, and obviously tied into the Blast Bros series. People got upset, like super, super furious, because they're like, you're depriving people of the best of the best going head to head. You wouldn't get the Team Liquid, you wouldn't get the Team Liquid Mouse Sports, you know, the best of three that they had. Where, I mean, yeah, Liquid won it 2-0, but both matches went to overtime. That is what CSGO gets on the daily. That's why every major gets such a viewing. Such a partnership, because you get the best of the best going head to head all the time in a really, really great format. So I just think like the community, it would take a lot of time to get the community on the side of doing franchising, but I'd also think it would just lose the beauty of what CSGO has. I think franchising works for a lot of ways, and I also understand everything's a business, right? I mean, there's a reason why most major sports have franchising. That's why it's a thing, or franchising to a degree. I mean, obviously you still get sort of relegation series and things. But I get it. There's monetary values for it. But I just think the magic that comes from CSGO is really just that whenever I'm sitting and when I dive into a major, I can see the best of the best. And I think Dota also, Santiago de RGB also has that exact same thing. It's the best of the best. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is a sad thing in the sense that in terms of like the open market being a viable thing and a working thing in esports, CSGO had it. Like it's brilliant. From tier 5 all the way to tier 1, you have top tier events or events going on all the time to cater to everybody's needs. I mean, you can be a tier 2 CSGO player and earning a fucking living with a salary and playing tournaments and shit. In Dota, that's kind of unheard of. In franchise leagues and Overwatch, I mean, those things don't really exist. So in terms of the open market, I mean, CSGO was well ahead of every single other esport by a long margin. I mean, it was a very viable
career.
I mean,
it started years before all of them.
Yeah, no, fair. But I think...
fair, so...
Still, what initiative has there been in place for the likes of Dota? And I mean, Dota's been around for 10 years. There's still no initiative to make Tier 2 scene viable yet. Maybe next year it'll change, but it's still, I think CSGO already had that system going. So I don't know how this franchising is going to affect that, but I guess time will tell. I think our last topic of today, before we get into local esports news, is the fact we're going to go to the land, the true land of esports, Korea. The team, I believe this is the most successful League of Legends org of all time, T1. Glenn, am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
Yes.
The old SK Telecom, then I'll just T1.
Yes. They have gotten into Dota 2. They've recruited all 4 Rev, and they rumored to be putting together the old MVP Phoenix team, the only Korean Dota 2 team that placed top 6 at TI before. And I think this is like the coolest shit ever. I think a brand as big as T1 in Korea getting involved in Dota is a really great thing, because although Dota 2 is one of the most popular games in the whole world, in Korea it's near non-existent. Like nobody plays it there. League of Legends is like the main game there. You have likes of Overwatch there, that's really big. But Dota 2 has never been pushed, and it's not like Valve is ever gonna do fucking marketing themselves. So the fact that T1 is like out of their own accord, like, let's get these guys and let's make a Dota team is massive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, especially because they're a Casper org, and the Casper orgs historically have tended to get involved all as one. Now, whether that's the case, yeah, we don't know. But T1 getting involved is a lot more prestigious than MVP. MVP, for those who don't know, it's a much smaller org. They tend to focus on like the smaller titles in esports. Like they famously had the world champions in like HOTS, and they have the CSGO team, and they have the Dota 2 team. But that's basically who MVP is. They basically like work the margins. Like any small esport is where they get involved. They've had League of Legends teams, but in general, like they're not heavy hitters there. They just don't have the volumes. SKT is basically sponsored by SK Telecom. That's where the name comes from. SK Telecom is one of the biggest. It'd be like getting sponsored by. Telecom.
Yeah.
Now, but that doesn't mean that they have infinite money. Like anybody thinks, you have the entire money of like SK Telecom. No. They have a tiny little side branch of a side branch of a side branch of SK Telecom.
They're still
one of the most prestigious organizations, not only in Korea, but basically worldwide because of their achievements.
But I mean, this supposed to be true. This supposed to be real. Like, as much as they don't have like the full weight of fucking, SK Telecom, but they do have, I mean, they pay. And again, obviously, a lot of this is speculation. Some of the biggest teams, like leaders in the scene, are saying they pay Faker like probably one of the highest salaries in the world in the history of.
The best player in the world. That would be like.
But
like, did you know that Lionel Messi gets paid like $40 million a year?
What I'm saying is they do have access to funds where they can justify it. Obviously, Faker was justification. That's why they got what they got. Right. Let's not pretend that other leagues, other esports teams are able to prevent a move from one of their best players just by money alone. You know what I mean? Like some teams have had to lose some of the biggest players. I mean, to be fair, Jensen wasn't necessarily so much of a money thing, but I mean, Cloud9 couldn't compete. So what I'm saying is, like, yes, obviously Faker's one of the best players in the world, but I'm saying SK, they're not scared to bring out their wallets when they need to. And I think to me, the big case as well is that the fact that they're just jumping into Dota 2. Without any inclination for it, like Kwame was saying, there's no real monetary value to get into esports, get into Dota for them specifically because of Korea. Dota's not that big, right? But the fact that they're jumping in there anyways. My big thing, really, my biggest question is obviously, are they actually building a pretty like a contender team, or are they basically putting together like odd pieces and like bits and pieces?
I mean, that's the way it stands right now, it looks like they're going to put together the old Korean stack, the 4Rev, Febi, Kyo. I mean, obviously, it's speculation at this point. The only player signed up is 4Rev, who I think is the best Korean player. I think 4Rev globally is quite a good player. But then again, the Dota scene is so competitive, right? Like, even though MVP Phoenix finished top 6 at TI a couple of years ago, I mean, till today, 4Rev didn't manage to qualify for TI last year. Like, he fell out in the qualifiers last round. I mean, Dubu, one of the also very popular Korean players, did make it to TI. But again, I mean, his team made it to the main event and shit.
But on paper, what the team that people speculating and putting together, are we talking about a TI team? Not necessarily winning it, but like, would they qualify for TI? Where would they rank? Or not even there?
We don't know. We haven't seen the players in a team for years. Yeah. So
all the members from the MVP Phoenix, the original Korean like top stack, have been involved in the Dota 2 scene in one way or another. Obviously, Kyo, the main star player back in the day, hasn't been too popular since then. But I mean, Dubu was the coach of Fnatic who went to TI. He ended up playing in Fnatic. 4Rev has been playing in Team Secret in the last couple of years. MP was playing in this Fnatic squad that was very good throughout the year. I mean, all these guys are still top-level players. So putting them back together, it could work out very, very favorable. And obviously, Korea, probably quite a patriotic nation. So having all Korean team could be good. But again, the team's not confirmed yet.
There's a high likelihood it'll be an all-Korean team, knowing T1.
Yeah. But it, I think it could be massive for the Dota 2 scene. Because, again, the publicity from an org like T1 getting into Dota. If Koreans start playing Dota, and this is where I'm going to get to the poll of this week, how long till the Korean overlords take over? And this is our options for the poll.
Oh, that is a hot take.
It's not a hot take. Because Koreans, in any esport they play in, are not just the best. They by far the best. They like the fucking... gods of esports.
So the reason why I call it a hot take, I mean, obviously it's not really a hot take. It's just that Dota's been primarily one of, arguably the only real esports that didn't have one nation control it so strongly as it did, right? We always had the narratives in the early TI. Everyone just thought China was going to come in and just roll, right? That's what everyone always thought of, like China's going to roll. And then they didn't, right? You know, Na'Vi came in. You kind of look at the likes of the EG, VP. So it's like, I feel to me, like Dota, what I've appreciated about Dota more than anything is like, it's always been an esport where there was never a single dominant nation across too long of a stretch period. And I mean,
and you know why,
Glenn?
You know why? Because the Koreans didn't play. So the options for the poll this week of how long until the Korean overlords take over Dota is, I mean, one, instantly, like, sure. Two, need time to fester, or three, you're too young to understand why Korean esports is scary. Bam, that's your three options, motherfuckers.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm psyched for this shit.
That is and such maybe... a Dota-centric poll that no one cares about.
But don't you feel like the answer is going to be immediately?
Yes.
Apart from Counter-Strike, apart from CSGO, every Korean team that has entered a... every scene that like Korea has entered, they've won a prize in.
There was a culture tied to that. There was a cultural significance before that, right? You look at StarCraft, was like there was cultural significance prior to that. League of Legends, literally, also again, there was culture.
It was the replacement for StarCraft, okay?
Yeah, exactly, right? But the point I'm saying is like Korea was there before. Korea led the way for esports and League of Legends.
Right.
It absolutely led the way.
And
what I'm saying
Overwatch?
Is like there's
they've won the World Cup.
They literally the entire Overwatch League is made of Koreans.
Firstly, hold on, bring it back. Let's ever fucking pretend like a World Cup based on national teams is ever significant in League.
So,
Overwatch League is also full of Korean players.
So the top two teams are pure Korean. The best team of all time, well, the best team over Al's history is the New York Excelsior. It's an all-Korean team. The best the best team this year is the Toronto or is it
Are you talking about Vancouver Titans?
Yeah, the Vancouver Titans, all-Korean team. The guys that won last league, London Spitfire, all-Korean team. Like,
what
Koreans dominate.
What I'm saying is Dota does not have the roots within the culture of Korea to be a thing that people are going to flock the best of the best are going to flock.
You're right.
That's all I'm saying.
You're right.
But hold on, let me finish. The same way you look at CSGO, and we had Koreans try to do the whole CSGO. There's no roots in it yet. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that Koreans are not great and not naturally gifted or great, whatever, but you're talking about the culture or the infrastructure, whatever your reasons are. I'm not saying Korea are not going to do well. I'm saying there are no roots for Dota right now within Korea. And again, this is just my speculation. For Korea to do well, right.
The thing is, they don't need like a huge player base. That team that we were mentioning that came sixth at TI, they won two huge tournaments that year. They had maybe like let's be generous and say they had 10,000 players in the whole of Korea for CS:GO. I'm sorry for Dota.
No, look fair.
Right you take like 1% of that 10,000 are like top level players. They could make one whole team. And that one team could win massive, like, huge tournaments in Dota. That is terrifying that they can be that efficient with their talent.
Like, if that's not scary, then I don't know what is, dude.
Look, time will tell. I'm going to just say my opinion is I don't think they're going to just come into Dota right off the bat clean house. I just don't think it's going to happen as quickly as people say it will.
All right, so you want
to it's not going to be instantaneous, but they will get there.
Yeah, but hold on. The argument is about whether they're going to get there or not. The argument, literally, we had three fucking options. Y'all said either.
Glenn, I feel like you're not appreciating.
When is the first game? When would be their first game?
Well, it depends when they put the team together, but at the moment,
a
the Dota
year
scene.
From their first game is when Korea will start to be competitive within Dota 2. That is the statement that I, well, the speculation I will back myself behind.
I will
but to answer Nadia's question, like currently the Dota scene is on a break, so we don't know when the team's going to be put together. But before the end of the year would be their first game.
Yeah. All right. So let's head over to our favorite thing in the world, South African esports scene, local esports, you know, all the good things. We only have one topic tonight, but it probably will get, yeah, it's a good one, right, Nadia? You want to start off with the whole debacle thing?
It's not much. I think Glenn might just piggyback off.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a stir. So we when I was last on,
two weeks ago,
so we had the Overwatch VS finals, which was ultimately won by Goliath Gaming, second being AGK Unidentified. There was unfortunately a bit of a squabble with AGK accusing a Goliath Gaming player of hacking.
Salt?
So, might very well be. Having watched the games, I wouldn't have picked up any.
Can I ask a question before the story goes on? Yeah. Is it even possible to hack in Overwatch?
Listen, well, yes. I mean, people get banned for it all the time. But at a location where you're not playing on your own machine, in public.
With an admin behind you.
With an admin behind you and a camera on you while you eat your sandwich. It's not. It would be a lot more difficult. So I'm assuming what you'd be looking at is either a cheat through a peripheral that you would be bringing in yourself. I didn't dig too deep into it. But ultimately, so VS unfortunately had to do the review what happened. And Goliath Gaming was, Lavias, I believe, was cleared completely. So
yay!
They can finally enjoy their win. It's unfortunate. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I couldn't see anything from my side that felt like when I was just watching the games, like any other pleb, that would have made it out that they were, that there was anything dubious going on. So don't know where that came from. Might be that people just felt some shots were landing where they shouldn't. But maybe he was just blessed by the gods of aiming.
Here's my thing with this whole, and it's gonna segue
can I just pause you, because I know you're about to fucking burn down the house, right? I just want to say calling out people for cheating in esports or anything competitive, it's so fucking common. If you played soccer in the park one day, you know how people roll around and cry and aim for those free kicks. People will say anything to fucking do this. I worked on the Sin 5 thing, the Empower Cup, right? It was the thing to uplift the Dota scene and shit, where the Masters players were the coaches and the players were like all new guys and shit. Obviously that system got abused because of lack of rules, but that's a story for another day. But there was allegations that Mazi, again from Goliath Gaming, was allegedly cheating, right? So the people who came up to me, they're like, yo, this guy's cheating, I got replays for you, let's watch this shit, I'm gonna show you, whatever. I look at the replays, this guy's telling me he 100% watched the replay, he's certain, sending it to me, I'm gonna watch it and shit. I watched the thing, I was like, okay, there's like five key points you can look at in a Dota player's thing in terms of how they just block the creeps in the mid lane to see whether like their mouse settings, the way they pan their camera and shit. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, yo.
Basically just mechanics that you can check.
Yeah. So I'm watching this thing and I'm watching it with this guy and I was like, yo, my dude. And he's like, yeah, you know, I know. We are a bit wrong about this. And I was like, yeah, and we move on. But like, obviously, there was actually like a lot of merit to that whole story. But like, when you look at it, it's like, it didn't happen. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I don't think anybody should take cheating accusations personally. And I don't think that like it's a surprise when people make accusations either, because this is fucking South African. It's something competitive, and this is why people are looking for the edge all the fucking time. It's not nice when it happens. I don't condone it happening.
The initial point is where it needs to stay. Don't fucking take it personally. That's what it comes to. My thing is, do you think if we have Federer and Nadal playing on the court and a guy wants to review a thing because he feels like, no, actually, that's not the right call, do you think the other guy is going to take it personally? When you look at the same thing, when you look at Formula One, when you look at Vettel going, no, actually, the way things are ruled because of this and that, whatever, or they felt that Mercedes kind of changed something in the engine, do you see these two like slagging each other from social media? No, they don't, right? My thing is, in the end, again, we need to grow up. Right? If someone feels that you are cheating, they have a right to contest that. Did they go on social media, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, But I don't remember seeing ATK go on social media and shit all over GG calling them cheaters like they do in the Dota community.
I can't say, though, that was something nice to see that this, I think I wasn't hopping into the Discord as much, so I'm not sure if it was going down there. But at least they did keep it off, like, mainstream social media that this was going on.
And here comes down to the real question. Who the fuck brought it into the public domain? GG brought it into the public domain because they can't keep their shit down and never they take everything personally. And I will absolutely shit on them for that. I'm personally going to tell each and every one of them, you guys take everything fucking personally, and I'm tired of it. So I'm going to call them out on that. I'm going to say that no one went through improper channels. There are channels for a reason in a tournament. If your ego is so insecure that you feel the need to tweet and accuse a company, accuse another org and say, oh, you guys need to apologize. I'm not going to mention names. It's not about who the guy, it's not who from GG said it. I'm just saying, if you're that insecure, you're going to make a tweet and then you're going to delete it afterwards. For whatever reason, I don't even know what the reason is behind that. I'm just like, bitch, grow up. They went through the proper channel. The only reason this even came out is because you got touched about it and you wanted to bring it up. Like, come on. What are we doing? We're not children.
I don't know.
ATK has every right.
The odds of somebody somebody cheating at that level, and especially with all the, you know, focus on you, I just thought that was a bit redonked.
CSGO had some of the biggest cheating sweeps in the pro scene, right? So I don't think it's a level thing.
What you're saying ties back into Glenn's point, obviously a lot less fiery, because, like, again, why are you taking the accusation personally? This is sport, right? It comes with the territory. Soccer players dive. People try to get advantage of refs. It's a common thing.
It's not the same thing. But tell me, that's not the point.
No, it is the point. Just hear me out. What you're trying to say is don't be a little bitch and take it personally, right? And what Nadia's trying to say is not a big deal either. So why?
You're missing the point, though. You're missing the point. My entire point is not about... If they had tweeted, if ATK had tweeted and gone, GG were cheating, and then there was an investigation put into that afterwards, I would still be like, GG has ever had to get upset about that. Because it was it's not diving. It's not about a diver. It's not about getting an advantage. They went through proper channels. That's what I'm saying. If a team goes through proper channels and you're still going to shit on them for it, that is what my issue comes down to. It's not about what they said or what they didn't say. Like I said, if ATK had publicly gone and attacked GG for cheating, that's a whole different thing. Right, that's a very different conversation, and then I would be like, GG, you have every right to be upset with them. I'll take them to court, pull a fucking MSSA on them. That's not the point. They went through a proper channel without making anything public, without trying to make it personal. GG went and took it personally, and then created the whole Barbra Streisand effect. Now it's become a thing that we're now sitting here on a podcast talking about. Where I'm just like, y'all need to handle yourselves better.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. It's not the first time GG's been involved in this shit either. It comes back to my point. They keep getting involved in this shit, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? You're a top org. They are. They run well. They do well, right? If you're a top org and you're still gonna act like an insecure, like, fifth tier org.
But it's not new. It's not new either. Like, this is always how it's been. Like, GG have the knack to go in. Fucking demand public apologies for something that happened in private, and like you said, I don't know if it's through proper channels or not, but what seemingly proper channels. But I never saw no fucking apologies for harboring racist players back when, and I actually also saw us getting called out for it, like that we did. It's a
bunch of people getting called. We get called out by GG for a lot of things.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bring it out there. Like, I do get called out for a lot of things by GG, and we do that. We get it all the time. My thing is, like, if people went to the proper channels and you still want them to apologize to you, and then, also, if you want to talk about proper channels, we have proper channels. If you have an issue, what we say, come to us. Talk to us. If you have an issue about something, go to our boss. Go to Sargon. They are also channels to that. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm being spicy, and people go like, oh, I'm taking a
picture. No, I don't think you're being spicy.
I just feel like there's a way to handle yourselves. And if you want to be one of the biggest orgs in the country, and GG absolutely is on the top. It's up there. They're up there as one of the top in the scene. Then why the hell are you acting like you're a 5-year old that just started all with you and your best friends?
It's a cult behavior, though, Glenn. It's typical with them. Anything that's not fucking circle jerking the choir that they believe they are, like the fucking, you know, it's like you attacking them, right? But, so even somebody going through a proper channel is attacked to them. Somebody,
yeah.
Like, you know how it is. Anybody trying to do anything that's not like, oh, Goliath, you're the greatest thing, gift to mankind. It's like, oh, fuck you guys, you're attacking us. Like, it's ridiculous.
And I want to bring it back also, because it goes into a bigger discussion I want to have. And it's kind of just a reflection in terms of like how esports, in terms of local esports. So like, yeah, obviously the segue kind of started with GG, and like, yeah, I am being harsh on them. I 100% am. And I'm going to be honest with them, but also I've been fair with them as well in the past. And I've, you know, back with the whole thing with Mazda, I gave them the chance to come and talk to me about it and give me a release. I held back my article an hour and a half just so I could get a response and kind of just put that within the article. It's like, I can be fair as well with that kind of thing. But sometimes you just need to call out shitty behavior. And my big thing is why I'm being so hard on GG about it. It's not about them specifically. And that's what I specifically want to sort of clarify. I am not calling them out personally. They are not the only ones that do this or that act this way or do this whole us versus them narrative. It's across the board. And I think it comes back to, again, having a reflection on like local esports. And it's about looking kind of like where we are. Like, I mean, obviously, like, my joking way of like sort of segueing this is it's like spring season is upon us now. It's a new season, right? It was new season. You kind of want to look back at everything that's going on. And my big thing is like, there's a lot of moves happening in the scene right now. And I'm like, I don't know if our scene is ready. You look at the same situation where you look at Game Nation and how they still haven't paid talent for an event. Right. Yep. And that's just the one of many that we've heard. Because one of many we've heard, we look back at EG, still haven't covered everything. We look at the whole issue with Arena when we had Luke on up. These things still haven't been clarified, right? Nothing's been clarified. Nothing is fixed. Basically, what we've done is we've taken something that's been broke.
Luca did clarify quite well. He just shaggied. Hashtag wasn't me.
No, but what I'm saying is like, just the overall thing is like these things haven't been clarified. Like, they haven't been tied up yet. We have loose ends all over our scene, right? And my issue is we say these things and then we move on from them, right? We don't ever come back. And I think a lot of reason why that's the case is because you look at how people interact with each other in the scene. It's so tribalistic. South African, and that's really what South African esports is, one of the most tribalistic fucking like niche genres or communities within gaming. And it's like, it's unbelievable because like no one's earned the right for it though. We're not there yet. We are not ready to like to split our scene into so many different things. But like, I no longer can talk to someone else because they're affiliated with this other org or with other people. You know what I mean? Like, we're too small to be tribalistic. And yet here we are, where we're being tribalistic as shit. And I'll call out bad behavior, right? I'll call out baby everyone that needs to be called out, and I've done it before. I've done it with people I have a personal relationship with. I've called people out for the same behavior. But my thing is just like, if you want to be one of the leaders of the scene, and it's, again, it's not about just GG. That's just the aspect. This is the one, you know, that's the premise of it based on kind of the story that just happened now with the Overwatch Cup. But I'm saying if you're going to be one of the lead, if you want to be a leader in this kind of a scene, like you gotta lead by example. So if you're going to bitch that no one else is treating you fairly, lead by example. You know what I mean? And I feel like people forget that in the scene. They forget to actually lead by example.
I think a good analogy to sum up what you're trying to say about GG, and actually it's for the whole scene in general. Like, it's that big fish in small pond.
Not GG. It's not just GG. It's something overall.
Yeah. But in general, we have that very big fish in small pond syndrome. Is like, you think you have like a fucking finite level of success in a very small isolated scene, that it like gives you a sense of, I mean, it should give you a sense of pride. You're succeeding in a local esports scene, you're trying to push for great things and stuff, but again, you have to acknowledge where you're at. It's not you are not Navi, you're not EG, and this is not about teams also, it's about players. Like, obviously players is like, it's a ingrained thing to be egotistical and stuff, but like, also know where you're at, right? That's my thing.
I don't even mind them aspiring to be a bigger scene. Like, I honestly don't mind that. I don't mind people trying to compare themselves.
No, it's not about that. It's like, you can't take pride in something. Like, let's say I had to say I'm the best South African Dota 2 caster, right? Obviously, I'm not going to say that now because I haven't casted a game of Dota 2 in what feels like months. But at some point, I was quite, like, I didn't say it myself. I was regarded by a lot of the community as the best South African caster. It feels good. I like it and I enjoy it. But also look at the content. There's 6 other people that do that, and 5 of those other 6 people like just don't do it that often either. So it's like, I can be happy about it and it was a nice thing, but at the same time, like, no way I'm at, like, because I got a long way to go. There's a lot to improve here, a lot to improve
no,
there
for
it's
sure like, but I don't mind them acting bigger than what they're going to. Like, I don't mind orgs in this country acting bigger than what they are. Just because it means they drive
it. It holds you back because you're not realistically looking at where you are. How do you improve if you think you're the best, right?
See, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that, you see, yeah, and okay, so okay, I hear you too. To your point, that I think basically what we're saying is like, yes, revel in wanting to be the best and revel in aspiring to be better than some of the biggest orgs on the scene, like globally. But to your point, know where you are and kind of just know that there is a gap that you have to still bridge between that. But I think wanting to bridge a gap isn't a bad thing. I just feel when I look at the scene, and I've spoken about it before, and obviously a lot of people now will turn it into, oh, Glenn's just hating and trying to do clickbait and just causing drama for no reason, and that's fine. If people feel like I'm literally just saying this shit just to get a stir out of people, that's also okay. But I genuinely give a shit about the scene. And I literally, and I've said, yeah, like I've been involved in meetings for the last literally 3 weeks, specifically working with brands around the scene because I absolutely care about it and I believe in it. But I just think like the state that we're in right now is just like, it's constant drama, right? And I think often it's unwarranted. But I think it's more than that. It's just like we're just so delusional about where we are as a scene and what we're trying to do. And I just really wish we could hit a reset button, right? Where we could just kind of just go, you know what, just pump the brakes. We had a good run. Let's take a moment to just reflect. And that's what I really, what my message is. I'm like, I know no one's going to hear the message over and above all the whatever supposed like inverted commas, like hot takes I'm saying. But like, I just feel like we just need to reflect and go like, cool, here's where we were. Here's where we are. Like, are we in the right direction? Are we actually going in the right direction? Like, I don't feel we are.
All right.
But what is the right direction? Because it's just everybody's just doing what they're doing. It's the same thing. Nothing changes. I don't think this particular point that started all of this, I don't think it was as offensive to me, because I think if anybody would accuse you or somebody like in your inner circle of it, then you'd probably, my first reaction would probably also be an angry tweet. I don't think it's that super serial, but I do get the rest of what you're saying.
My thing is, I think it's a pattern. No. So for me, one of it, like, and why I'm bringing up that Gigi thing point is, it's a pattern of behavior that the org has shown across the board. So to me, it's not just this one incident isolated. It's a bigger discussion around how org.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation. And the thing is, it's not a conversation that happened exclusively with South Africa. Hence why I'm not just trying to say this is just GG, right? And yeah, they might take it personally, like I'm attacking them, but it's not about the point. You look at how, you look at Thorin and Richard Lewis, how they were vilified by orgs, particularly Richard Lewis, whenever they revealed roster movements. And then literally people would go, especially to go, no, wow, my God, Richard Lewis, you're trash. Oh my God, that's so shit. That's not what happened. That's not how it goes. And then literally like the following day after shitting on him and calling him a trash human being that's not worthy of being a journalist, they announced the exact roster move they made, right? It's a pattern of behavior in terms of like setting precedents about like how things interact. So for me, yes, being called cheating is shit. Absolutely. I would hate it. I would also be upset about it. But my thing is, you have to give proper channels. Like, otherwise, we're just going to degenerate into a point where we had with CSGO, with a female CSGO, right? Where no one went through proper channels at the beginning there at all. They all just started shitting on each other, right, on social media. And everyone just sat there and laughed because it was hilarious. Everyone's like, this is a fucking joke, right?
How to destroy your scene 101.
But you know what I mean? Like, everyone had a laugh about it. I mean, how the women, they were also having a laugh going like, fuck, this is hilarious. Throw a little match and then just walk away, right? Like, if you want to go down to that route, sure. My thing is, like, I'm not saying don't be upset and don't take it. Don't be upset. Being upset about someone accusing you of cheating is not a problem. I can understand that we're human beings. Like, I'm as competitive as the next. I'd also get upset about it, right? My thing is, if they went through proper channels, the fuck are you going to do shitting on people for that? Like, because then what is the alternative then? Right?
I also think...
Must they go through a secretive... Yeah?
To play a bit of a devil's advocate, I think the Overwatch scene in South Africa...
I hate devil's advocates, by the way.
It is quite young. Like, this is like, it's not a very established esports scene in South Africa. Not that it's smaller, but I'm saying that Overwatch is a newer game, and obviously the competition and stuff is like hasn't been going on for the past 100 fucking years, like CSGO. Yeah, not that,
like,
it's smaller.
Everybody doesn't have like a massive history with everybody else.
Oh yeah, and also I think the Overwatch community is also quite tight knit, right? So it does feel a bit more personal than like another esport. But then at the same time, like, if you just look at other esports, go to a FIFA tournament if you want to see cheating accusations. Happens every 5 seconds. It's like, GG, well played. You're a fucking cheater. It's like, I don't think,
that's a fair point.
Before even the tweet happens, it's like, okay, I understand you're upset, right? But, like, why are you really upset? You shouldn't be upset. Like, I know maybe it's your friend or something calling out. It's a bit shit. But, like, at the same time, it's esports. It's a competitive video gaming. It's a competitive environment. This shit happens. You're going to get called out. I don't think it's a personal thing.
My thing is just, going back to the GG point, it's a pattern of behavior. For example, Muzzy, right? The whole issue around Muzzy occurs, that happens. There's screenshots, there's evidence, et cetera, et cetera. I write an article about it, detailing the situation as what has happened. I then reach out to GG, right? That's my job as a journalist is to do that, to reach out to the person I'm writing the story about. I'd be like, here's the article I'm writing. Can I get your viewpoint? I delayed my article an hour and a half past when it was supposed to get published already. Just really give them a chance to put together a statement sent to me, which they did. And I included the full statement in my article.
Right.
I then get shut on by saying I'm attacking GG. So my issue here, guys, right, if you're going to be one of the top orgs in the scene, understand people will talk about you because what you do matters. You're influential to the scene. If you don't want to have people writing about you or talking about you or reacting to you, don't be a big scene. Go sit there, tier five. And then go sit there and be okay just doing things with friends for fun, right? My thing is I went through the proper channels. I gave them the chance to reply to my article, which they did, and I put the full thing in, and I still got attacked. Then you look at ATK. Again, they have the right, whether you like it or not, they have the right to request a review. It's not personal. If they felt the need, and I guarantee you right now, if GG felt the same way about a team, they would have done the same
for
thing,
sure,
right? And again, would have been on their side if the roles were reversed. If ATK was actually shitting on them on social media, I would have done the same thing, saying GG had every right to do it. And that's what it comes down to. If you're going to be an org in this scene, if you want to be one of the best in the scene, act like it, right? Proper channels. If people follow the proper channels, why are we having this? Like, why do we have to have unnecessary drama? And again, people will be like, nah, I'm here causing unnecessary drama because I'm shitting on GG and what. But again, none of this would have happened. This would have been a non-issue if you let the proper channels reflect themselves. And you can be upset. Just keep it privately. There's no need to bring that out there. No one made it public till you did.
Yeah.
And you being GG, right? And that's what it comes down to for me. That's my issue. And that's what I kind of like. We talk about the scene and we get upset about things. We get upset people don't get paid. We get upset because of racism. We get upset about X, Y, and Z. I'm like, guys, there are so many easy solves we could just do as a scene. Easy solves. Like, easy solves.
Prophecy, where do you stand on this? Huh?
I mean, you're allowed to request a review. You know, I'd take it more as... I'd probably just take more of, like, you know, it's like a bit of a good feeling if they think that you have to cheat to beat you. So.
Ultimate form of complimenting gaming. Oh, you call me a hacker? That must mean I'm really good.
It's just salt, dude. Every player is going to experience it. Like, play a game of CSGO, play a game of Dota, play a game of anything you want, and you'll, like, some guy's doing something that you'll consider bullshit just because you can't see what he's doing.
Yeah. And again, we will say, as well, like, we did say, I mean, when we saw this thing sort of going down on social media, I mean, I think we can say that we all literally like GG wouldn't do that. Like we can't imagine that they would have done that.
Yeah.
They would have cheated, right? Because they're good enough. They don't need that.
And I mean, they've been like, one of the best. I think if not the best Overwatch team in South Africa this year. They don't need to cheat to win, guys.
And I think that's what we said. So we actually
and we know
really,
that,
in our
but they don't.
Said they wouldn't. We would never. So I laughed it off. I was like, there's no way. But my thing is, like, now that you put it out on social media, now it's a whole fucking conversation. Now there's a whole podcast being speaking about it. And now there's a whole... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done,
it's shit, Joe. I think... The thing is, like, I enjoyed your speech, Glenn. I think a lot of... It'll probably get... Like, your main parts of your points are going to get missed by a lot of people because they'll just be, like, holding on to the sort of...
of course.
Oh, Glenn's being shitting on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think, for sure, of course.
I think I agree with it. I think, like, the way you represent yourself in the scene is important. Your patterns of behaviors are important. Not everybody pays attention to it, but those that do can see how it goes down. Like, I give a good example personally. I made a tweet the other day about XD doing some shit roster kick or whatever. I was fucking way off the mark there, right? Now that. If I keep on tweeting like that, I am not a reputable source anymore. I am just a fucking...
I've never considered you reputable because you follow Arsenal. So just, That was too easy. Liverpool, I had to throw it in there.
That's the whole point. So that's like, yeah, it's not about this one scandal. It's about your patterns of behavior. Every time something happens, they can't just be like fucking arms up, fuck you, so from anybody in the scene, because that's like, it's at like a level of maturity we had to like not mature at all, right? And that's an issue. I 100% believe that, but I also don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Like, I don't see any inclination of it changing, which is a bit sad. So, yeah.
I just feel like the scene's going to move away from that shit. I think that inevitably the way things go, and I mean, again, obviously this is all speculation, and I mean, it's just based on my experiences and my beliefs, but I just feel like the scene's going to have to move on. Right? And we've had this conversation before where you look at the fighting game community, right? The FGCs. They don't get crazy sponsorship, right? Because they all still want to sit there and act this way, right? We as an esports scene locally are acting like FGC, right? We fucking lose our shit at the first thing that happens. It's raw. It's raw, but there's beauty in the rawness of it all, right? And I actually want to put that on the other side as well. Like, once I'm giving that shit, there is beauty in how raw we are as a scene. And how you just kind of get a lot of just full-on views into people's thinking and things. I think there's beauty in that. But I think at the same time, we want to act like we're going to be a professional scene, we're going to bring in corporates into here, we can't act like an FGC, right? You look at Call of Duty, even Dota, which was of the big three, and by big three, I mean between League, CSGO, and Dota, right? Dota was a scene that literally was the most FGC out of the three of them. Going, we don't care about being PC. We don't care about being corporate and looking nice and wearing a suit and being nice. We want to do our shit, right? You look at the 2G, G2 Studios, or was it 2G Studios? What are they called again?
Too Good.
Right?
Yeah.
They literally, their entire premise. One of the TIs I watched the most was when they did their own version of it, their own stream of it. Because of how casual it was, and I loved that coming from a League of Legends player. I just loved how casual it was. So my thing is like, there's a time and place to be raw and be uncut, but if we, and that's what everyone's been complaining about, right? You see it on social media, everyone's going, there's not enough money, there's not enough tournaments. But it's not raw and uncut, though.
It's just immature behavior. It's stupid ass shit. Like,
I think it's raw. I think there's beauty in the rawness of it, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a beauty in how raw we are. And I'm saying that's fine if we want to just stay as a grassroots scene that basically just does like 200K tournaments tops. And we get maybe 200.
We are lucky to get those 200K tournaments. That's what I'm saying. We don't deserve those 200K tournaments. Even the way, like the size of our scene and the way we are, like, we don't actually deserve that. We are great, like fucking fortunate to have that. I think people need to get the wake up soon. Otherwise, we're not going to have that anymore. Maybe we will. We probably will have that still. But
like, I don't think so, because again, it comes to conversation. I was telling you guys as well earlier, where I've had a brand come up to me and go, "Cool. We want to sponsor. Should we?" Like, they want to go, "We want to get into esports." Then they go, "Cool. How do we get in? Do we do a tournament? Do we sponsor one? Do we sponsor a team or a player?" And I literally vetoed the team and the player thing. I was like, "Do not touch people right now." And the reason being, we're too volatile as a scene. To have an org put money into, to have a brand put money onto a team. And I'm like, and again, like Nike gets away with it so much, right? But again, the reason why they get away with it is because their entire premise as a brand is that they're basically, I mean, they just say, just do it. But really what they're saying is winning for all costs. Like, they're just going, whatever it takes, we win. That's Nike's real thing. Like, that's how people look at Nike, winners. So that's why they can have a Tiger Woods scandal and still come back from it. That's why they can have the Colin Kaepernick thing and still bounces back every time. Because they're all about winners for the sake of just winning. That's what they are. That's what they represent, right? Whereas if you look at a brand like Under Armour, on the other hand, Under Armour's so emotive, it's so beautiful, so we care about the people who you are. They would never get away with scandals like that repeatedly. My thing with the local esports scene is, we don't have brands that are willing to take that risk on us. So my thing is, at the end of the day, and that's literally what it comes down to with the scene, is either you want more money in the scene, then be professional. Clean your shit up. Hold back your words. Not everything needs to be tweeted. Not everything you're feeling needs to be said. Be upset. Keep it within. Talk to your team. Talk to your manager. Talk to whoever, your friends if you want to, but whatever. Keep it internal, right? You want to throw your dirty laundry in the air? Cool. But then you're not going to get money. So, Brad, like, literally, the scene has to decide. You want to bring money in? Do you want to be a professional? Or do we want to just say what we're doing here, where every other week we're writing articles about someone doing X, Y, and Z. We're talking about things on podcasts. People are subtweeting, directly tweeting. We're having a laugh at the female CSGO because now they're having a whole... I mean, we can say putting on a clown uniform. I'm happy to put on a clown uniform and just run around in a circus. But then we better be a circus. And let's be honest and say this is what we are. We are a circus, and we only want brands that want to be part of a circus, which is two people. Final Mouse, right? With their fucking weird-ass drop mechanics that they have, right? If you want to be a circus, let's be a circus. But then let's just say we're an esports circus.
For me, I think that's the important thing. Acknowledge that we're a fucking circus. The only way you cannot be a circus is to accept that you're a circus. But I don't think we've even got to that point yet, which is the big
issue.
Accept
and move on. Get people to accept and move on. Because everyone, you know what I mean? Anyway, look, we've talked about this for at length, yeah. But I feel like it's just basically me.
Got to close up, eventually.
So, I'm done.
So yeah, we're putting a muzzle on Glenn. He's too angry. Shut the fuck up, Glenn. League of Legends is not going to become a better game just because you're mad.
I'll fight you later, privately.
So, yes, that was episode number 58 of the Esports Centric Podcast. It got a bit spicy there in the end, but you know, all's well that ends well, I suppose. And yeah, that's the episode. Catch us on Twitter at KChickDay, at G_KAYY, at STGutsalily, at Prophecy Gaming, and of course, catch the publication at Esports Central ZA on Facebook, at Esports CNTRL on Twitter, and of course, at the World Wide Web at esportscentral.co.za. You can find the latest esports articles in ZA. You can find this podcast and just all the things about Esports South Africa. This has been our episode number 58, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Till next week, Thursday.
You all missed me. Goodbye.
Ah, yeah. The top.